Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. To the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News, with my boys, Mailman and Duke. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. What up, bro?
Yeah, we good. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's do it. Got a couple topics that are near and dear to us. But you know what? Before we start, this podcast is about growth, and I'm going to take responsibility on something. I was going through and listening to our last episode, and the way I edit episodes and cut things out and add stuff in kind of came off as last week, man. Mailman didn't sound the best. I kind of not intentionally put him in a bad light. So I'm going to take that and apologize to you, Mailman, and to all my listeners. It kind of came off like he was just misogynistic. We were talking about is sex a deal breaker. And it just came off like my man was just all about sex and that's all he cared about. And I didn't want to put him out like that. And so
Let's talk about sex, baby.
But I think the only thing that, you know what I'm saying, they really missed out on was that me saying that, you know, the long story short, it can be a deal breaker, but it depends on the person. If you're dealing with somebody that it's that important to them, and what y'all trying to explain the reasons of it being important, not saying that it's the most important thing, but you know what I mean? You just got to know who you're dealing with, and it can be a deal breaker. So communicate with each other, one another, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's something that I'm working on as far as this editing thing. Remember, that we're new to this, and it just, the way I edited, it's been rectified. And this episode obviously will come out more to what he's trying to say versus what it came out as.
Yeah, and I am not a player, big dude. I just want to put that out there. I am not a player.
I've been with She tweeted us that.
Yes, I am not a player. I've been with the same woman for the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? And before that, I was in another long-term relationship for 4 years. And before that, I was with my daughter's mom for 4 to 5 years. So I'm not a player.
And before that, you were married. So
yeah. So
realistically, man, we've all, and this is for all our listeners, we're not players. We are not in that kind of lifestyle. We're not about that.
We've all been in serious relationships before, and we had our time where we were doing our thing, but that was when we were younger. We grown ups now.
So we just wanted to address that, get that out the way, and let's go ahead and get back to these topics. Our first one today comes from an interview from a person, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, Kevin Hart. He is interviewed by Big Boy on his radio station, and he's talking about the idea of forgiveness and about negativity in his life. So I'm just going to play the clip, and after that, me and the fellas are going to talk about it.
I'm just a realist. I know how to separate false reality from real reality. And real reality is, no matter how much emotion and feeling you may have or how much hurt you may have, life has to go on. Life doesn't stop for anybody. So if you don't process that and understand that, you're stuck in whatever time period you got hurt forever. Mm-hmm. Forever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So grudges and anger and negativity, I don't have time for it because I'm living to do so much positive things.
Right.
I got so much positive outlook on everything else that's coming in the future. I can't stand in the past and bathe in what was wrong.
On that note, fellas, how do you guys feel about that idea of grudges and negativity and that stuff like that holding you in that moment?
I can go first on here because y'all like to talk a lot. So
Yes, we do.
I just like to get right to it and tell you exactly how I feel. So I used to live in that lane. So I get exactly what he's talking about. I used to be that dude like, yo, you crossed me one time, I'm holding that grudge. You asked me how long till you die. And then even after that. So I get exactly what he's talking about. As I've gotten older, I've learned that you can, because honestly, back then, I used to think about that as a sign of weakness. If somebody do you wrong and you forgive them or let them, you a sucker, you a chump. You know what I'm saying? You letting somebody get over on you. But as you get older, you realize people make mistakes and not everybody's perfect. And I know damn well I ain't perfect. So I know I made a lot of motherfucking mistakes in my life. And I've had people that I've hurt that have been close to me that have forgiven me. And we've been able to move on and upward with our relationships. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So absolutely, I get exactly what he's talking about. Ew. And it does eat at you. When you do that, it takes a part away from you because you always got this negative part because you worried about so-and-so that did you wrong. It does mm-hmm. take away from you being happier or as happy as you possibly can be down the line or whatever's going on because you're only focused on the negative part. You're not focusing on all the happiness that you have going on in your life.
It kind of shuts you off from like opportunities and just of happiness yeah. and success. Go ahead, mailman.
It do. It's like quicksand.
It is.
Right. So what I liked about it, he was talking about surrounding yourself with more positive things and processing that and kind of moving past the hurt or the trauma we've already talked about. I'm one of those guys that's big on energy and I can feel people's energy around me and things like that. And I spend time a lot of just meditating, trying to work through all that negative and turn that negative into positive energy because that's all I want around me is positive energy, positive vibes. And I feel like in order for me to grow, it's meditation that helps me work through my negativity.
Yeah.
And make it so I'm not holding those grudges, but living in being stuck in that moment of where somebody hurt me and things like that. Cause I've dealt with a lot of hurt and I just choose now to leave it in the past and keep moving forward.
I like this podcast because this video kind of centers around what this podcast is about, right? The real dream. And in order to get to that real dream, we have to have conversations. We have to have things like that. If you are listening to this podcast and you're listening to a sense of, oh, these guys are funny and these guys are hilarious and we love what they're saying, that's great. We appreciate that, truly. But the meaning of this podcast is to address things that we don't talk about, we don't discuss. And that way our dreams become a reality. That real dream isn't no longer a dream. It's a reality that we live in and day out. And that is just to become successful. And when you surround yourself with that negativity, when you focus on that negativity or hurt or lack of forgiving someone, I love that part of it, where it was like when someone hurts you, if you hold on to that, you stay in that moment forever.
Yeah.
And I can only relate to this as in how many times we see women that are hurt by a man and then raise their children to now protect themselves, or a man who's been hurt by a woman and then tell all his friends, I'm never going to accept love or do this with a woman because one time back in the day, that person hurt me and I never forgave him. I never moved on from it. Addressing your issues, man, I think it's tough. It's not an easy task, but it's something that needs to be done.
I think they got a reality show out now about that too. I think it's called Too Hot or something like that, where all these strangers who be hooking up with people that they meet and it's all about sex and they never have like intimate relationships with each other. When I was watching it, I thought, oh, who knows, some more trash TV. But the purpose of it was so that they could start looking deeper and figure out why it is they weren't having these meaningful connections. And the number one thing that kept popping up was they were hurt once, they had got hurt by somebody once, and they said they would never feel that way again. And so they moved to a point where they stopped, you know what I'm saying, trying to get an emotional attachment with people and just left it at the physical.
Yeah.
And trying to keep themselves from being hurt. But a lot of times when you start putting up walls like that, you start placing yourself in a box and then you have no room to grow.
Well, that's because when you're hurt, that makes you vulnerable, right? And being vulnerable is a difficult thing to deal with. It takes you outside of your comfort zone and your level. But if you find a way to channel that hurt, yeah, of course you're going to have your time and them tears is going to flow. Or you're going to say, fuck you this, fuck you that, motherfucker this, motherfucker that, whatever it is that you need to say, whatever it is you need to do. But at some point in time, when you become one with yourself, and you'll use that hurt to fuel you to go on to bigger and better things. Yeah, you're never going to forget it, because don't forget it, because, you know, if you forget it, you're going to open yourself up to that, to allowing that to happen again. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, you have to be able to, you still have to let yourself be vulnerable to let somebody else in. And that's a difficult thing to do. That's why a lot of people choose to go that route, because that's the easy way. You know, one thing that we've talked about and we've seen a theme for a lot of successful people is there was no easy way. There's no get rich quick scheme. That's the same thing with finding love or processing hurt or whatever the case may be. You have to put yourself out there, and that's a hard thing to do. So once once somebody destroys that for you, that's a hard thing to build back up.
It really is.
But yeah, you know, but that's what we're trying to say here. We know it's hard to get past that, but we believe in every one of our listeners that you can do that. No matter how hard it is, you're stronger than you believe you are. So use that as your strength. Use that to build yourself back up so you can be vulnerable to somebody when the right person comes to you.
I always say, you'll never know love if you never surrender to it.
It's scary. Just like jumping off a cliff and hoping someone can catch you. It's like, look, man, I'm 200 pounds. I hope you can catch 200 pounds.
I ain't catching shit.
I know you not. I know you not.
It depends on from how high I got there, because you know what I'm saying? Six feet, 200 pounds, I got that. You know what I'm saying? But you start getting higher than 6 to 10 feet, and I'm sorry.
Nope. I'm gonna let his dumb ass fall. And then when he hit the ground, I'm like, probably shouldn't have did that shit, did you? It's a life lesson.
Typically at the end of our episode, I say, I love you guys. From now on, I'm saying, I love you, mailman. Thank you for catching me.
Hey, at least you know what's right. Up.
I hope your ass trip on a curb when you go to your car.
You need to reevaluate who the real friend is. He gonna enable you to do some dumb shit. I'm gonna let your ass hit the ground so you learn a motherfucking lesson.
Hey, he can still learn that lesson without hurting himself.
He'll be all right.
News, you know who to roll with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because that motherfucker gonna let your ass fucking hurt yourself.
I know. All I can see is my ass. Sorry. Some shit happening that hurt me, and I'm down and out. And all of a sudden, he can walk up like, "You good, nigga? You get back up,
right? Yeah.
One of the things, get your ass up,
right?" So I had a I had a grandmother from the South who was one of the people who actually had money in one of the banks in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My grandmother, my entire life, I don't know if our listeners know of the story of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Long story short, Tulsa, Oklahoma was considered the Black Wall Street, a lot of blank banks, a lot of businesses, Black owned, kind of like the New York Wall Street. Some stuff happened between an African-American male and a white woman that was questionable at best. That Black man was killed, and the KKK and white supremacists came in and burned the whole town down. African-Americans who invested in this lost millions of dollars. And my grandmother was actually one of the original people that owned or had money in the Tulsa, Oklahoma bank. My grandmother, till the day she died, always kept her money in her mattress and never trust the bank again, because of that situation, and raised all her kids to never trust the bank again. You see what I mean? And so that hurt, that idea that with like we're talking about, you want to protect your kids from the negative things that can happen, whether it be relationship, finances, business, school, whatever the case may be. And then you forget that even though you haven't experienced it, the joy or the success that comes from actually going into those moments, actually seizing that, you know what I mean? and exploring those possibilities. Yeah, you may fall. Yeah, you're going to hurt yourself if you do. You're strong enough to get back up. And that's the reality of it.
Hey, but I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, you're talking about your grandmother and kids and things that remind me, and finances that remind me about the Greenlight app.
Yeah.
I need to get that information from you again, Duke. I know you sent it to me, but some reason why I can't freaking find where you sent it at, you know. So what I'll
do is, Duke, send me the link to the program. And, you know, I'll actually share it to the listeners, because I think that's it defines what we talk about right now, right? The idea that now, not only am I not trust on my financial literacy, I'm now teaching the next generation at the age of 5, 10, 11, how to deal with finances. And I just love that aspect. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share it to our listeners too. Yeah, if you're a parent and you want to try it, do so. Obviously, Mailman is trying it. I just signed my daughter up to it. So, yeah, go ahead and try it and let us know.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I think it's dope.
My daughter's already using it. You guys will like it.
Yeah.
You control everything with the aspect, and, you know, it's got a spot for allowance and all that stuff. So
can you monitor to see what they are spending it on and things too?
Yeah. So you put the money in the parent wallet. So you can put whatever you want in the wallet, and then you just gradually give it to them. So that way that it's already saved in there. And then let's say she do something good. I'm going to give you $20 for that. You put that in there so she can only spend 20. Even if you got, you know, 100 in there, she can only spend 20. She can't go over. So she can only spend what you allow her to spend, and it'll show you exactly what it is that she spent it on too.
Freaking nice.
And you said something about chores too. Like, you can link it to
because you can do allowances, you can do you can start a savings account, you can do stocks, you can get stocks for them, all types of stuff. That stuff is a little more but the basis of it is being able to do the allowances and the parent wallet and all of that stuff.
I like the idea of teaching the next generation financial literacy. I like the idea that we're teaching the next generation and moving on past trauma, man. This is real stuff, man. And I'm not even trying to point anything out. Every single listener has had a parent, an adult, or some figure that they looked up to that was triggered by something that happened in their past, and no longer trust that system or that person or that sex or that job or whatever the case may be. It happens. And that you don't realize that subconsciously affects you. A lot of women today.
It's a lot of Black people, period. Like, it's some Black people that right now they'll be like, man, I ain't messing with you because you look like one of my uncles that fucked me over. Or you, hey, Usher made a song, "You Remind Me of a Girl That I Once Knew."
Yeah. And this is why I can't get with you.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with her. It was trauma that man went through.
Hey, trauma. This is so bad that another girl reminded him of it. He was like, oh, no, hell no. I can't do it.
You want to hear a crazy story? True story. Me and my wife, we have a mutual friend. Mutual friends that are getting married. They invite us to the bachelor, bachelorette part, okay? Uh-huh. They're on the same day. And the goal is the men go one way, the women go another. Everyone meet up at the strip club. The guys go bar hopping up north. The girls go bar hopping downtown. And they all meet up at the specific strip club. So that way the men and the significant others are with each other. That way nothing crazy happens at the strip club. Whatever.
Hey, you know, who am I to judge?
Right? My wife, God rest her soul, was like, you should go. You've never been to a strip club. I'm like, that you know of. Whatever. And so we do this. And then going to the strip club, she's like, hey, I just stayed downtown, but the girls went. I'm not going to the strip club, so you can go. I'm like, well, I can't. You can't do this. She bailed on me. I'm like, all right, cool. Fine. I'm just going to be there for like 15, 20 minutes just to show face to the married couple and say, hey, I'm your Black friend. I got to leave. Bye. You know, whatever. It's a strip. True story. This is a strip club. I'm not worried about who's there if anybody's going to recognize me. the first woman that came up to me looked almost identical to my wife. Here's the thing. She has shit on.
Oh.
She has shit on. She just walked up to me and was like, hi, would you like a dance? This was my exact response. Yeah, I think about it. I felt so damn guilty. Yo, I gotta leave. I gotta go right now. This is a sign. He's like, why? I'm like, you know my wife since grade school. You can't tell me that woman don't just like her, except she just wearing panties and my wife wears tops. No, I'm getting the hell out of here. God's sending me a sign. And that's, you don't want my black ass here. Good day, sir. True story. Trauma. I ain't been to a strip club since. No.
Hey, hey, little side note. Duke, you remember last time we went to the strip club?
Mm-hmm.
We saw a blind stripper.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. I swear to God. Yep. I can't, you can't make this shit up. Jacob, we had went to the bar at night, you know what I'm saying? And we closed the bar and we wasn't ready to go home yet. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to, you know what I'm saying, keep drinking. The strip club, you can still get a drink there, you know, until like 3 o'clock or so. Go out there, we have a drink, and we're like, we'll go next door since we got a coupon for some money off or whatever. We get in there and I think a couple of ladies get up there and do their thing. And then right before we leave, you know, I see out the corner of my eye, this stick moving, you know what I'm saying? And it's one of the, you know, the sticks that the blind people have to help find their way.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yep. I caught it out the corner of my eye. And then she freaking started tapping her way to the motherfucking stage. Then lead that pole up against the pole and climbed her ass up there and started dancing. She was kind of hot. I don't know who told her this and how she found out, but you know what I'm saying? Somebody must have been gassing her because she was literally on the freaking stage dancing. And then, of course, Duke gonna put a 5 in front of me. And I'm like, how she gonna know what that is? But she was,
you know, found a way.
She was feeling around across the edge of the table, and she pick up the can, and then she be like, come to me. Oh my God. It was the weirdest, craziest fucking time I ever had in a strip club, and I ain't been back since. I said, man, they got blind strippers in this bitch, it's time to go. I don't know whether or not to tip her,
because she was start praying.
Because she blind. I know, I felt bad. I was like, I don't like this. I don't feel right. I shouldn't be able to make these kind of decisions. It's true.
Look at the bright side. Ain't like she's gonna see somebody she recognized.
Right. Oh Lord.
That's fucked up.
I'm going to hell.
That's fucked up.
On that note, we're gonna take a quick break, y'all. We'll be right back. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our next segment. Here we're going to talk about something that came up to me and a friend of mine was talking about the idea that there's a difference between having the pressure to succeed in life and having a fear of failure. And about fear can be a motivator. The pressure to succeed can also be a motivator. This is different because of what it means to you and also how you react to it. Like taking a test. Are you afraid to get an F or do you feel pressure to get an A? There's a difference between what motivates you to study. What motivates you guys one or the other, or if it's not a third idea?
I'll start out this one. So I completely believe that you can use fear as a tool. I mean, a lot of people, and you know what I'm saying, me for the most part, I always try to say I only can find my real true strength when I'm overcoming my fears. Like, I don't know how strong I am until I overcome something that I fear, because fear is a positive motivator. Fear exists to keep you safe, to keep you from falling off a cliff or jumping off that cliff when you know it's too high. You know, that fear, you know, is present for a reason. But it's the overcoming of that fear that gives you strength, where you find real power in, is by overcoming that fear. But fear keeps you safe. But if you give into that fear, it can crush your success. Okay. And with success, you know, it's about taking risks. And what's that saying? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So if you don't take risks, if you are too afraid to take risks, then a lot of times you're going to, you know, stalemate your own success by giving in to fear. So fear can be a powerful motivator.
That's true. And it sounds like that's what you use in your day-to-day life as far as.
Oh, yeah. If it's something that I'm afraid of, or I feel like I'm a fail at, because I am afraid of, I'm not afraid of failing, but the fear of failing is still present. I know with me, I will regret it if I don't try it, at least try it. Like, yeah. I have to actually fail before I say, oh, I'm not going to try something because I'm afraid that I might fail. No, I got to fail first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Got to make sure the stove's hot before you touch it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Touch it, burn yourself.
Okay. Or at least put my hand over it to make sure it's still warm, you know?
I get it.
I ain't trying to burn it.
Or you let a motherfucker fall on the floor so they learn their goddamn lesson that the floor is hard. You don't want to fall on it.
This is an uplifting podcast.
You're welcome.
So I say this with the I say this with the utmost respect. Fuck you. Okay.
Fuck you. I'm just saying.
Shit. Duke, how you feel about this, man?
Same thing, man. I use fear as a motivator. The fear of failure, I should say, I use as a motivator. I don't like to fail at anything. So when that does happen, I use it as motivation to show that that shit ain't going to happen again. I'm not going to make the same mistake again. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that it's going to turn out different. Exactly. So I use that the same way. I'm not saying that I'm not going to fail, because I have failed plenty of times in life, but I ain't going to do the same thing again. I'm not going to do the same thing twice. If I'm a fail at the same thing, I'm a fail a different way. And so I find the right way to do that shit. Right. You know, that's just how I am. That's the type of person I am. That's how I'm getting to where I want to go in life, is using that fear of failure as a motivator. Mm-hmm. The other way around, I guess I can see how people can use success as a motivator. But to me, the pressure of success as a motivator.
I'm gonna say this. I kind of agree with both parts, right? I always like to say this statement when it comes to people who are going to be a dad, or like, oh, I'm gonna be a parent, or everything like that. And I always ask dad, are you scared? Are you scared to be a father, especially if this is your first child? Because I always feel like if you aren't genuinely afraid to be a father in some way, shape, or form, even the slightest bit, like the fear of everything falls on your shoulders, you don't value the significance of being a father. You feel me?
Yeah.
You feel me? Like there's a fear, a healthy fear, that comes with being a father and understanding that someone's life now is predicated on what it is you do on a day-to-day basis.
I understand what you're saying, News, but for me, I had never had any fear of being a father. Yep. If anything, it was the exact opposite. Like, that's all I ever wanted to be. Like, I knew I was going to be great at this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I wanted to be, was a father. Because that was the one thing I never had.
At the same, yeah, exactly. That's different, though. Because and it's the same token, too. You were married with a woman with her own kid at one point. So it was kind of like, I'm raising this child anyway. I'm ready for this. I want my own. You see what I mean? With that example, I want to be a successful father. I want this. There's a pressure with that. And it's like, not that I don't want to be in this position, there is that I'm going to succeed despite what has happened to me. So the reason why I use that example is because now I'm in this life where my daughter's livelihood is solely predicated on me. There is no mother in the picture. It's just us, right? So I have an obligation and a pressure to get to a successful point to where she succeeds, right? I feel that pressure. soon as like everything, I was like, oh my God, I got to settle down. I got to get my life together, get my mind right. Now I got to go to school. I got to further my education. I got to get this career going because there's a pressure for that. And I embrace it. You see what I mean?
Yeah, because it's survival mode. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got to survive. Yeah. I got to make sure she thrive. And I got to make sure I thrive so that she can thrive. I get
nothing,
it. I told
you. Nothing's wrong with either or. But I just like the idea that you could be one or the other. To all our listeners, man, question out for you. What drives you for success? Is there a fear of failure in your job, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationship, in your life? Or is it the pressure of success because something is calling me to be successful and I embrace that? I'd like to know.
Just remember, too, there's no right or wrong answer. Whatever path you choose is the right path. Now, if you ain't shit motherfucker, we ain't talking to you. We're talking to the motherfuckers that want to do well in life and in business and in love. That's who we talking to. You ain't right. Shit motherfuckers. This is the part where you pause, or you hit mute. Okay, because this ain't for you.
I do like the old ladies in church. They put up that one finger and be like, I'm on my way out. See yourself out.
Yeah, there is no wrong answer to this. There really isn't. And so I just want to hear from my listeners. You know where to go, man. We're at TRDcast on Twitter. We're the Real Dream Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Let's hear it, man. What drives you to be successful, whether it be business, love, relationships, family, whatever? I want to hear from you. I'm sure the fellas want to hear from you. Leave a comment and a like and let us know. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back to our third segment on the Real Dream Podcast.
On the next installment of Ratchet News.
Me, 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 me. Yeah.
Let's get it.
All right. Give me some ratchet shit. What we got?
Okay.
First off, before you start, are the motherfuckers in Florida?
No.
Okay. Wait, go ahead.
Maybe.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
That is undetermined.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
All right. It's football season, everybody. I hope you guys are enjoying the games or anything like that. But looks like the police launch an investigation for fists that are flying in the stands at a Steelers-Lions game. I don't know if you guys have seen the video. Please look up Steelers versus Lions fan fight.
I haven't even seen the fight yet.
Okay, this is how I'm explaining it. Basically, the wife tried to cash a check that the husband's face cannot motherfucking cash. That's exactly what happened. She tried to cash a check that motherfucker cannot watch shit. This shit.
I want to see the fight.
Watch this shit. Right, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I done seen this thing about 4 to 7 times. Somebody went night-night. Night-night. I was like, woo! All right.
God damn.
How y'all feel about this, man? This is the second incident issue where a woman starts a fight at a football game and the husband proceeds to finish it, or significant other, whoever she's with.
Man, I just watched that video again, man, and with this whole equal rights, you know what I'm saying, there should be equal fights too, goddammit.
Equal rights and equal fights.
Fuck that shit, she should have slapped that man. I feel if you know what I'm saying, woman enough to put your hands on somebody, you need to be woman enough to handle the consequences that come behind you putting your hand on somebody else too. You know, that's a bad day at the football game when both of y'all get y'all ass whooped.
I'm just glad football's back. Good, dude. I'm sorry. Good, dude.
I mean, she tried to write a check that her husband's face couldn't cash. That's exactly right. What happened.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she decided to run her damn mouth, and her husband walked his ass in there, and he got put to sleep. He went night-night. And then woke up, and ain't know what. You could tell when he woke up, ain't know what the fuck happened. He was like, what happened? She like, no, nah, no. Nah. It's over now. It's over. He's from Florida. We can't fuck with
that. Why are you doing in Florida, man?
I bet you is. I bet you is from Florida.
That was in Detroit or something, weren't they?
I don't mean that motherfucker ain't from Pittsburgh. Florida.
That's true, though.
That's pretty good. I mean, they could be from anywhere.
Look, hey, man. I would say this, though, as far as, you know what I mean, the guy stepping up, you know, trying to protect this woman. Hey, good for you, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's honorable.
Oh, honor fuck that. Respect. She should have known his ass couldn't fight.
Hey, but that's what I was going to say. Like, it's honorable to want to, you know, protect your woman and, you know what I'm saying, defend your lady. That's the honorable thing to do. But damn it, you better make sure you got some hands first. God damn. Mm-hmm. You better take a couple classes or something. Don't get your ass handed to you like
look,
that.
Look, women.
Set up. She set his ass up.
Women, I'm going to say this. Alcohol is a dangerous drug.
It really is. Sure is.
And listen.
All white. Shouldn't known that fuck with no brother. All white. That's the same as seeing a nigga in some black Air Force Ones.
We didn't see his shoes. We didn't see his shoes. We don't know.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same energy. Listen, all white.
Listen, I'm not going to promote domestic violence or assault on a woman. We're not talking about that. We just talking about women in general. Understand that whether you are at a party, a bar, the club, whatever your alcohol level is, needs to be dependent on whether or not your man can fight. If you know you are the type of woman that's going to pop off at the mouth a little bit, get a little attitude, and that's okay. That's cool.
But you got to know your partner.
You got to know your partner's going to step up in that case.
He stepped up. He just got knocked down.
Right. That's the problem. You dating Mike Tyson. Okay, cool. You can say whatever you want. No one can challenge you. And if he does, your man got your back. That's cool. But you dating Where's Waldo, that's a problem. Because women don't understand how hard a motherfucker has to hit you in order for you to go to sleep.
She went night-night.
And like, you change fall out of your pocket.
That motherfucker gonna cry in the car.
Right,
gonna cry in the car.
Hey, that motherfucker went to said, you know how hard a motherfucker gotta hit you for 35 cents to fall out of your pocket.
Right. Hit him so hard.
Hit him hard as that little motherfucker.
He went to sleep watching a Steelers game and woke up a football game. Woke up watching a baseball game. That's shit.
He was still in the altercation when he woke up. Like, oh, shit.
For real.
This shit is still going on. Shit.
For real. Well, I bet that motherfucker had a nightmare that night. Woke up just swinging. I guarantee you.
Hey, you know that ride home was awkward than a motherfucker for him, goddamn.
Oh, shit.
Hey, about he can't never talk shit to Huggy. You want to see? And then when that brother was whooping your ass at the football game.
No, that has to go back. I know your ass can't fight, so as soon as you get on her nerves, I know your ass can't fight. You going, so I'm gonna keep running my damn mouth.
Right.
You already know.
Good Lord. Look, man. It's preseason week two. This is the second time in 2 weeks that a woman has started an argument and then the significant other, the man, the husband, whoever they are with, ends up in the fight and getting their ass whooped. I'm going to put the onus on all three of them. For women, if your man can't fight, don't get that drunk. Understand who you with. For your men, if you know your woman gets to that level to yell at you in front of everybody and start slapping motherfuckers when she gets drunk, either A, stop buying her alcohol and cut her off early and say, listen, babe, I don't think this is where you need to go, or you need to take some fucking jiu-jitsu class, because that motherfucker, you need to do something. And to all my listeners, any man who takes his glasses off before fighting is an assassin.
The same man, know your partner.
There was too many signs, man.
I bet that motherfucker named Otis or something. You know, he one of them old hood OG type of niggas, like with a hood OG nickname like Otis Lee or some shit.
Yeah.
You just know by looking at him, don't fuck with him.
if you can see a man, if you can see a man's bicep without him flexing, and you can't remember the last time your husband did a push-up, leave it alone. Leave that shit alone. Leave that shit alone. When he realized that husband was asleep, like he took his melatonin and was good for the night. He was like, all right, I'm done. I like how if you listen to the video, this is because I pay attention to stupid shit. If you listen to the video, not only did the fans say, hey, listen, no, she slapped him first, like the people that were watching the fight, but one of them motherfuckers said, hey, man, where's your glasses? Somebody get his glasses.
Oh God, I'm gonna watch it again.
Bro, listen, come in and watch this fight like 4 or 5 times.
I'm talking about like while we've been recording this, I've watched it like 4 or 5 times. This shit is crazy. It's unbelievable. I don't condone violence. You know what I mean? Let's just get that out there real quick. You know what I'm saying? We don't condone violence, but damn it, if you don't, but we do believe in protecting yourself. I mean,
like, yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Years ago, there was a situation where we all went out and got pretty hammered. And afterwards, we went to Denny's. Me and my wife were walking in. Somebody had said something to her. I was so drunk. I don't even remember what it was. But I think I was super defensive and insecure at the time. And I was like, what? You want to do something? And this man stood up, took 3 steps to me and was like, hey, brother, hey, give me your hand. And went and grabbed my hand. Was like, listen, I'm just complimenting you later. It's okay. And I remember I was so angry. I was like, I'm ready to fuck this motherfucker up in Denny's. I will beat you over some flapjacks. Like, I'm not playing. And he was, the way he did it and the way he shook my hand and the way he came and just like was like trying to calm me down made me realize this motherfucker is a killer. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker is a killer.
Nah, nigga, I told you.
And that. Then afterwards, afterwards, dude came up to me and was like, listen, I'm your boy. We your boys since day one. If you fight him, we all going to fight him. We going to lose. But you understand
that we is real. It was a whole, you ain't see him. It was a whole,
it was whole a whole
restaurant was them.
Yeah.
Oh, like no one shit. Or two. Yeah. It was a whole ton of them niggas. And guess what? They was all from Florida.
No, they wasn't.
Yes, they was. Yes, they was. Way more. Nobody was. Yeah, exactly.
Kudos to the husband for standing up for your woman. Kudos for the woman for being like, my man's getting his ass whooped. I'm not going to let that happen. Kudos for the African-American male who sat there and made sure his Gucci shades was safe before he
to commence to beat ass.
Week 3 of the preseason is about to start. Let's not fight. Stop drinking too much. Keep your ass home. You wouldn't drink a lot. Keep your ass home.
Y'all should have been out in the parking lot or somewhere with a screen on. Y'all getting drunk like that and acting a fool.
No, I'm just tired of good, faithful husbands getting their ass whooped. That's my problem. That is my problem. It's not about the black man. It's not about the man hitting the woman. It's not about, hey, I'm just tired of good men out here saying, I'm going to stand by my woman. I'm going to protect her at all costs. Oh, shit. Tuesday? The fuck just happened?
Hey, yo. That's the real take. That's the real deal taking one for the team, though.
Yeah.
Nope. That's the for real deal taking one for the team, though. That's when you really taking one for the team.
Sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes you gotta let motherfuckers fall.
Motherfucker. I told you.
No, I would have said, hey,
I hate to come full circle in that shit, but you gotta let him. I love you. One of these days, I'm gonna tell my listeners about how my wife slapped a handicapped man.
Oh, but, man, we gotta do it.
But no,
we gotta tell it.
if you want
shit I haven't seen in my life, man.
If y'all want to hear that story, tune in for the next episode.
Some straight gangster shit, man.
So on that note, man, I want to thank you guys, Duke Mailman. Listen, I love you guys. I
wish love you too, bro.
Love you too. Happiness. Hey, vaccinated or not, use deodorant, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Be healthy. Just be healthy, Peter. Exercise.
Whatever your choice is, man, just take care of yourself. We're in some crazy times. So
yeah, take care of yourself. Exercise, eat healthy. Do what you gotta do.
Right. Love you guys. Wish you nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, keep dreaming. Take care.